In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, even as the rain falls, it is good to gather together on this late October day to hear God's word and to be joined together in faith. Last week, Jesus told us another story, a story that was meant to encourage us to not lose heart, to be a people of hope who stick with our search for God, who keep looking for God despite the challenges and the hardships of life. Jesus told us, be a people of hope. Now today, reading after reading gives us examples of people who are trying to do exactly that. If you start with our epistle reading, that reading from 2 Timothy, here we can hear Paul talking about his life. Paul has experienced some hardship in his life. There's been beatings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, rejection. His life has not been pretty. It has been hard. And yet, even at the far side of all of these difficulties, Paul is filled with confidence today. He's filled with a belief that God is with him, that God has seen him through, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can stop God's love and grace staying with him. Even when he says, my life is poured out, I've finished the race, I've fought the good fight, it's time for me to die. He says those words with a sense of hope, a sense of certainty that he is not alone. The 84th Psalm also kind of talks about this consolation, this hope that's brought to people who seek after God, who head up to God's temple and seek prayer and meditation and connection with the source of life. In that psalm, we're told that deserts and dry places have been turned into places that are like well-watered gardens. God is revealed to God's people when we seek after God. But I'd argue that today, our gospel story, this story of the tax collector and the Pharisee, gives us the most powerful picture of God's peace and blessing being given to those who seek after God. And as Jesus gives us this beautiful picture, he also reminds us of something. He reminds us of how we as people of faith are to go about trusting and hoping in God. It's pretty clear as you listen to the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector that we are not supposed to be like the Pharisee. Did you all catch that? The guy standing there comparing himself to everybody else and saying how awesome he is. That is not what Jesus is suggesting for us today. And it's pretty clear that Jesus's point is that it isn't by our strength or our ability that we earn God's grace. No. It's the nature of God that makes us lovable. It's the nature of God that accepts us. It's the nature of God to simply shine grace upon all of us. And it is that forgiving, loving, and gracious nature that's held up by Jesus today. So let's dig into this passage from Luke just a little bit. Let's pay attention to the Pharisee and the tax collector and see how it is we might be invited to more deeply connect with this love, this grace, this presence of God. Now, I want to point out to all of us today that both of these men clearly seem to care about God, right? Pharisee and tax collector, both of them care about God. They've given up their day. They've headed off to the temple. They've gone through all the ritual acts that one needs to go through of washing and preparing to enter into the temple. This was not like coming to St. Mark's where you pull up with coffee and just run in. It takes time. It takes preparation. Honestly, it takes some financial resources put into this. The tax collector and the Pharisee both have sacrificed something to show up at that temple today. And so here we see them. The Pharisee is obviously quite committed to living a life that seems to have something to do with how he understands God, right? I mean, honestly, the guy is not eating twice a week because he thinks it's going to please God. That's a sacrifice. That's faith impacting your life. He also is giving away 10% of his income, so his faith is impacting his financial life. Clearly, this is a guy who's pretty committed to knowing the rules and following the rules, and he's convinced that if he does that, it's all going to work out, and he is going to just be accepted by God. There's no question. This guy, his life is marked by and shaped by his faith. But I think we can all agree, as we heard that story, there's an ugly side to the way that's working in his life. Because instead of showing grace to others, what's he doing? He's judging others. He's judging everyone around himself. And he actually believes that through doing things, he can make God happy. The tax collector, on the other hand, is a very different picture of somebody seeking after God. This is not somebody who, at first glance, you might assume is a good, faithful Jew. I mean, he's a tax collector, people. Who here loves tax collectors? Well, people really didn't like tax collectors back then. These were not Jewish tax collectors. They're Roman tax collectors. They are people who literally work for a foreign occupying government who has taken over your land, killed your leaders, and taken many of your rulers and sent them off to death camps. And now you are collecting money to support that government. Not the most popular job, right? What's more, you don't get paid a salary. Your payment is based on you over-collecting taxes from everybody you see. I mean, we don't like the IRS when it follows the rules. So now imagine IRS collectors who get to break the rules to pay themselves. And we start to understand a little bit of how this man is viewed and why so many people probably look at him and say, that dude is not following God. That person is not somebody whose life is being impacted by their faith. How could that possibly be when he lives a life like that? But what do we see in this tax collector? We see a human being who knows his faults. Who knows that he's fallen short? Who knows that the way he lives is not the ideal way for us to live? And so he brings himself before God in hope that God will be forgiving. That the nature of God is not the kind of thing that we have to pay off and please to be accepted, but rather that God's nature is to be gracious and forgiving, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And he stands there before God, knowing that he cannot earn forgiveness, he cannot earn God's love. He simply stands, confessing who he is, and being justified according to Jesus Christ. He goes home made right with God, not because of what he has done, but because of who God is. And that is the incredible power of this gospel today. That is our hope as people of faith, that our forgiveness, our belovedness, our hope doesn't rest on our own shoulders and on our own goodness and on what we have done, but it rests quite simply and quite basically on the grace of God. If we were to jump over to a Lutheran church or even a Congregational church or a Presbyterian church today, today would not be called, let's see, what Sunday is it in ordinary time according to the bulletin? It's like the 28th Sunday in ordinary time. No, it would be called Reformation Sunday. I would not be wearing green today. I'd be wearing red. Alan taught me this just yesterday. Red for the blood of, I guess, the martyrs and Luther or something like that. It's a day where many other Christians celebrate the fact that divine grace, God's forgiveness, stands at the heart of our faith. It's this grace which leads Jesus to saying that contrite tax collector and not the impressive and fastidious Pharisee, goes home made right with God. Our hope is not based on ourselves. It is based on the immense love of God made known to us in Jesus, the one who comes into this world and is willing to suffer and die simply to show us that we are loved. So what's that mean for me, for you? What's it mean in the midst of this everyday life on a rainy October day? I'd suggest this. I'd suggest that we all take a page from that tax collector's handbook. No, I don't mean over collecting money from other people or working for foreign powers, but I do think that there is something to understanding that a way of following God isn't trying to pay God off or impress God, but it's really just seeking out the love and presence of God and dwelling in that love. I hope that today and in the days to come, you and I can practice letting that gracious love envelop us and hold us and support us and fill us like it seemed to do for that tax collector. We are loved not because of what we do or we don't do. We are loved not because we can sit around and say that we're better than other people or more holy than other people or at least not as bad as other people. We're loved because that is the nature of God. We are loved because God is grace. So today, as we come forward and we receive Holy Communion, outward and visible signs of an inward and spiritual grace, what would it be like as you reach your hands forward to realize that what you're receiving isn't simply bread and wine, it isn't simply God's presence, it is God's gracious love for you? What would it be to let that love fill you? What would it be for you to wake up tomorrow morning and let that first breath that you take be a breath of recognition that you are loved? You haven't done anything to earn it. I mean, shoot, you just slept. That's not all that impressive. Though I didn't sleep too well last night, so, you know, it is what it is. But it's not that impressive. It simply is the nature of God. This week, before you eat, whenever you find moments of free time, breathe that love in. Just breathe in, recognizing God's love and grace for you. And breathe out the fear and the anxiety and the self-judgment that leads to people like the Pharisee sitting and looking around and saying, well, at least I'm better than that person and that person. That's not who we need to be. We need to be grounded in the love and grace of God. So today, receive that love. Dwell in that love. In the week to come, breathe it in. Don't forget it. Hold on to it. Because that love is our hope. That love is our life. Amen.